You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
This week on Columbia Calling, me, your host Richard McCall, we'll be talking to Eric Toboni, a Texan here in Columbia who's created his own English language business. He saw a gap in the market, the paucity of the English language here in Columbia, and created his own business to teach executives, and by all accounts it's booming. So we'll be talking to Eric, and we'll be talking about the elections that happened on Sunday, yesterday in Columbia, and the outcomes of those elections. So tune in to Columbia Calling with me, your host Richard McCall. Thank you.
The world is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
What does your dream job look like? Is it spending an hour or more every morning, every night, stuck in traffic? Is it staying up late to finish that report for the boss? No, didn't think so. So where are the opportunities for the entrepreneurs with a sense of adventure? Where are the businesses for sale that allow you to be your own boss on your own terms, wherever in the world you choose? OverseasVentures.com. Overseas Ventures is the first business listing directory of its kind. Our focus is to provide a personalized experience for those looking to invest in overseas opportunities and start living their dream of the Overseas Ventures lifestyle. With everything from tiki bars on the beach in Belize to boutique hotels in the warm, sunny Caribbean to online opportunities for those who want to live out of their suitcase and just travel the world. Overseas Ventures is the first website dedicated solely for the global entrepreneur in mind. Check us out now at OverseasVentures.com to dream, own, and live a new life abroad.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, Richard McCall, your host here for Columbia Calling here in Bogota, 2,600 meters closer to the stars, as they say. Yes, what's been going on in Colombia? Well, later on we'll be talking to Eric Toboni, who's a Texan based here in Bogota. He's the owner of Bogota Business English. So this guy saw a gap in the market for a high-end executive English training outfit. And since 2011, he's been running it here. It's, by all accounts, a roaring success. So we'll be talking to him about how he set up the business, how he saw the gap in the market, and his life here in Colombia. So very exciting. If you want to check out Bogota Business English, that's bogotabusinessenglish.com. And very interesting things coming up with Eric Toboni on that front. So exciting times, as always, in Colombia. But of course, what has been happening here in the last few days? Well, on Sunday, that's the 25th, we had the first round of the presidential elections. No candidate between incumbent President Juan Manuel Santos, Oscar Iván Zuluaga, Marta Lucía Ramírez, Enrique Peñalosa, and Clara López, none of them were able to win an outright majority, that's 50+1%, to win the elections in the first round. With the scandals that have been taking place in the last weeks between Zuluaga, that's the Democratic Center, the Uribista candidate, and the wiretapping scandals, the email hacking scandals, and everything else, and of course scandals of J.J. Rendon, the campaign strategist for Juan Manuel Santos, who had allegedly received up to $12 million from various drug lords to negotiate the terms of their surrender to the government. So these scandals have been ongoing and presumably affected the outcome of the first round of elections, but the big winner was abstention. more than 60% of Colombians stayed at home on Sunday and did not vote. And now, there's something to say. It was a sunny day. The weather was good. The traffic was fine. Everything was safe. There was no violence. Well, there's been no reported issues. It was a day, you know, that was easy to vote in. It was a day that was made for voting, and 60% stayed at home. So you had Oscar Iván Zuluaga, the Democratic Center candidate, winning. He came in with some 29% of the votes to Santos's 26% of the votes. There's a 500,000 votes difference between first and second place, and then it dropped off. And you got Marta Lucia, the Conservative candidate, getting roughly 2 million votes, and also then Clara Lopez, who would be the sort of more left-wing candidate of the Democratic poll, getting around 2 million votes. Enrique Peñalosa, who showed so much promise right to begin from the very, very beginning, drew in some 1 million votes here and there. But, you know, his vote, his campaign was nothing. But then the campaign that took place was one of scandal and one of dirty tricks. And the fighting and the backbiting and the war of words between Zuluaga and Santos basically was like an override button for any other people's campaigns. They were not given any publicity. So you've got Ramirez, you've got Lopez, you've got Peñalosa, who just didn't make the news. Everything was too much. The scandal was too great between Zuluaga and Santos. So therefore, there was no further policy. So there we go. Santos is in second place. And on Sunday night, when Zuluaga gave his victory speech, you could see it was a well-honed, orchestrated event that he has international people on his campaign. It was slick, big images, well-written, well-composed, whereas Santos hadn't thought of this, and it all looked a bit of a shambles. So the Colombian elections continue to intrigue, and so we're going to a second round of elections for the presidency, and that will be taking place on June 15th, so the day after Colombia's first game in the World Cup. People may not think that this is significant, but it is, because, of course, what will be the feeling if Colombia comes out victorious in their first game, in their first World Cup since France 98, or what will happen if Colombia fail to impress? These things do affect the politics, and they affect the voting masses. So it's very interesting times. June 15th, second round of the presidency. At the moment, Oscar Iván Zuluaga has the upper hand, but we'll see what happens in the next 3 weeks as things will build up to the final round of the elections. Who will be the president for the next 4 years? Keep an eye out on this. Watch the press. Listen to my show. We'll be talking about this. There'll be blogs about this. There'll be editorials and so on. Get in touch, where you can be reached at Columbia Calling Radio. That's our website, columbiacallingradio.com. Get in touch with us at Gmail, columbiacalling@gmail.com, and of course on Twitter at columbiacalling. We'll be taking a short break and coming back with Eric Taboni of Bogota Business English. A fascinating interview for you all, so I hope you enjoy it. I'm Richard McCall, this is Columbia Calling. Don't go away.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Attention investors, Nagel & Associates and the Overseas Radio Network are sponsoring a one-of-a-kind asset protection and global investment conference this August aboard the celebrity cruise ship, The Constellation. This 12-night cruise will feature the best of Northern European capitals, including Amsterdam, Stockholm, Berlin, Tallinn, Helsinki, Copenhagen, and the highlight of the cruise, St. Petersburg. You will experience the breathtaking scenery of Northern Europe while discovering cutting-edge developments in asset protection and global investment strategies. In this small group setting, you'll learn from renowned international experts and then get to spend quality time as fellow passengers really get to know them and letting them know you and how their expertise might be of great benefit to you and your future. Not only that, but our conference is headlined by Jack Wheeler, who the Washington Post refers to as the real-life Indiana Jones. Come and get to know Jack and his wife, Rebel, and enjoy some adventure stories on the high seas. Registration fees are $13.99 for a single and only $19.99 per couple. Sign up before May 30th and you'll receive a $300 discount on your registration fees. Register now by calling 1-914-269-8848 or send an email to rachel@hemispherespublishing.com. We hope to see you aboard.
You've got questions about Columbia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Columbia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house? Find a job? Find a doctor? Start a business? Invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Columbia? You'll find your answers at columbia.escapeartist.com. Your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's columbia.escapeartist.com.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're here in the very comfortable offices of our interviewee today. It's Eric Tibone, or Tibone, from Fort Worth, Texas, and he is the owner, the director of Bogota Business English. So, you know, it's interesting to get someone of this nature, of Eric's nature, here on this show, because you know, everybody thinks about coming overseas, maybe teaching English as the first and the foremost opportunity, you know, to make their mark in a country, maybe to set up. But Eric, you know, has gone a step further than that, not teaching. He's set up the business to facilitate this. So welcome on the show, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Eric, tell me a little bit. How is it that you come, I mean, you've come to be here in Colombia, and why particularly Bogota?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess my story is, I graduated in 2008. At that time, I studied finance, and as you remember, probably wasn't the best time to get a finance job. And so I went traveling, so then I backpacked through Central America and finished off in Colombia. And I remember in the 3 months of traveling, I learned more than I did in my very expensive education. And I fell in love with Bogota. I was here for about 5 days. And as I mentioned to you when you were coming in, I love the cold. I love the rain, so I just had a great time here. I just had such a great moment and memories. I was always thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So then after that, I went back to the United States, got a job, absolutely hated it. Yeah. Was working for about a year and a half, lost half my hair from stress. And then I just realized this isn't what life is supposed to be like. And then 2010 with that, I decided to come back. And my plan was honestly just to learn Spanish, drink some beer, hit on girls, and that was about the extent of it.
I think that happens to a lot of us.
As you remember a couple years ago, the slogan was like, the only risk is wanting to stay. And how many people have actually just came down here and ended up staying?
It's true. But the expat community isn't huge. It's growing. I mean, if we were to compare it with, like, let's say, Guatemala or even like somewhere like Peru, the expat communities in those countries is massive. But here it's, because we were so few at the beginning and now it's growing, you notice that.
Yeah, exactly. I remember in 2010, there was, if you were an expat, you knew every expat here. And now it's just, in the past 4 years, it's starting to grow massively.
Yeah, it is. Now, hang on a second. We were talking about, you traveled through Central America and you went no further. When you got to Colombia, you went no further? Or you
I ran out of money.
All right. It wasn't because you fell in other areas. You ran out of money.
I ran out of money, so I had to go back and get a job. So.
Well, I'm happy to say, you know, sitting here with Eric, you know, to all of our listeners out there, that his head of hair has come back after that year and a half of stress. Yeah. Now, were you in Fort Worth working? Is that where you were?
Correct.
Working, or else? But it worked. Okay, so and you were in finance and it was hell.
I was trying to get into finance and I couldn't, which actually probably a bit worse, but I was in a management job at a high-end restaurant. Uh-huh. So as you can imagine, it was just unstoppable hours and just managing and, you know, over 200 people. So I mean, it was just not for me. I learned a lot,
yeah,
but I'm very glad it's behind me.
No, so you've taken this experience, of course, because you've taken this experience, and you know how to run a business, and you mm-hmm. came back, let's say, 2010,
mm-hmm.
just wanted to chase some girls, maybe drink some beer, exactly. maybe that. Did you start here as an English teacher?
I came down, and I knew I had to pay for certain expenses. I mean, I had some savings, but otherwise I wanted to keep something coming in. So I started to teach English just in the mornings and a couple classes in the afternoons. And I was studying Spanish in the evenings. So I did start with that. And, you know, in 2010, the English market, it was an absolute joke. I pretty much had no experience, and I got hired within 2 minutes of my first interview just walking in. But I fell in love with it, and I never expected it. Like I said, I'm a business finance guy. Started teaching, and I was just shocked by how rewarding the job was. And I just kind of took it from there.
Well, it's nice to hear that, because, I mean, we don't hear so often people saying how much they love it. It's out of necessity that doing it. Now, in 2010, see, I remember, you know, I moved here full-time in 2007, and people were always asking for English classes. The level of English here is pretty low,
generally speaking. It's pathetic. Yeah. It's absolutely pathetic. And I think one of the things that actually slightly worries me about this country's moving forward, but very few people actually have the English to manage situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, with Bogota becoming the hub of Latin America for business, people are falling behind. And I remember just a few years ago, it was a benefit to have English. Now it's a necessity. And I think, I don't know if it's unfortunate or fortunate, but I tell the people in 2-3 years, if they don't have English, they probably aren't going to have a job.
I think there's a truth to that, and I would like to extend a criticism to the top universities here
mm-hmm.
who, let's say, require their students to have a second language. They have to have a second language to graduate, but the emphasis is not that strong.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, I will not name names because I'll get in trouble, but, you know, someone very close to my family, for example, got out of graduated from Los Andes University, mm-hmm. so one of the best in the country, if not the best, and has sort of what they call like grades, you know, sort of a grade 6 in English, but she can't actually read English on the page or write anything. But she technically on her, you know, resume, it says she speaks English.
Yeah, absolutely. That happens a lot. I think one of the more entertaining stories I hear is quite often people finish their master's degree, and then 2 weeks before graduation, they have to test out a very advanced level, and they don't speak anything.
Yeah.
That's one of the more entertaining. But I think the most entertaining story I've heard was one of our students. He had studied English with us for a year. I mean, didn't learn a single thing. Mostly to her doing. I mean, not doing homework. And then she decided to drop out of English course in order to do a master's in international business. And doesn't speak any English.
Which the language is English.
So that was one of the more entertaining stories I've seen in my years here.
It's a little bit depressing. And I know we're in Colombia, and I know, you know, this is an issue. And actually, I want to raise, you created that Facebook group the other day, Bogota Entrepreneurs, and there was a very interesting debate.
Yeah, exactly.
That started up. Someone complained, I guess a Colombian, in Spanish, saying, this is Colombia, we should write everything in Spanish first. And I thought that was very interesting, because then the reaction was quite rapid and quite sort of, I don't know. I mean, I think it was fair, because it's like, if you want to write in English, write in English. If you want to write in Spanish, write in Spanish. But
yeah, exactly. The part that was most entertaining, a couple of us got together. As you know, there's an entrepreneurial Facebook group in Medellin that's been really successful.
Mm-hmm.
We realized that in Bogota, there's more opportunities than Medellin. I think so. And there wasn't that type of network.
Yeah.
So we started this group. And I mean, like within less than 24 hours, we were over 200 people. Mm-hmm. Just people trying to network and help each other out. But I remember this guy gets on and he makes his comment about saying, why is this in English? It should be in Spanish. And then people start making comments like, hey, you know, business, the language is English. But then he goes on to say something about the fucking gringos come here to come and steal from us and take everything off. And so then we're just like, the ones who I started the group with, a couple of friends of mine, were just sitting there like, we didn't know what to do because we didn't really expect anything like this. And I mean, it kind of blew up, and it was really entertaining. He was one of the only few persons who came in and was trying to argue that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, for the most part, everybody came and said, hey, you know what, write whatever you want in your language. And that was
I think it's quite telling. It's quite telling the situation, and it's quite interesting because of the isolation of Colombia.
Yeah.
I mean, not just geographically, the politically, socially, this country has been so isolated that there's been no need for English. And that's sort of, well, this is where you come in. This has been a benefit for you, obviously, because your business is booming.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, up until I'd say about 5 years ago, people never took it seriously because it wasn't it wasn't a need. I think, but because Colombia's been thrust onto the world stage, the needs come a lot more quickly, and I don't think that supply people, those English speakers, they aren't here. So, and I think, it's worrying to see what's going to kind of happen over the next few years for the people who don't bring in English.
Well, I'm concerned as well, and I just think it just needs to improve, and we're you know, the who knows what's going to happen with regards to, you know, the political situation and so on and so forth. Let's not talk about it, but who knows how it's going to go. Are these universities, the top universities here in Bogota, let's start with Bogota because that's where we are, and you say there are more opportunities here. I am firmly in agreement with you on that, because the capital city, yes, I'm strangled by its geography, strangled by its like small-mindedness, but it's the capital.
Exactly.
Everything's going to come through the capital, you know.
Exactly.
We can only hope. We can only hope that these things build up. And I don't know. I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting. But tell us one second, quickly, just before we go into a break, what is the website for Bogota Business English?
Yeah, it's just BogotaBusinessEnglish.com. If you search any combination of those words, you'll find us in Google.
This is proper foreigner knowing how to get the Google ranking out there and everything. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Eric Taboni after this little pause. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. Thank you for listening.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Tired of paying for traditional advertising? Sick of pouring money into SEO and questionable marketing firms? Looking to reach a new audience? We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. No radio experience or technical ability? No problem. In 3 easy steps, you'll be on your way to having a professional-sounding podcast and an exciting new platform to promote your business. Podfly's top-class support team guides you through the process to make podcasting easy, fun, and most important, have you sound your best. Get started today at podfly.net, and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. Check us out on Facebook, Columbia Calling. We've got a website, ColumbiaCallingRadio.com. And, of course, we're on Twitter at Columbia Calling. Now, we were just finishing off the last segment with Eric Taboni, former resident of Fort Worth, Texas. He's now a resident of Bogota. He's been here for several years, and he's the owner of Bogota Business English. And we've been talking about the business of teaching English here in Colombia and why it is a great business for him to be in. I'm not saying to any of you out there, go up and open your own businesses. But I just want to say, you know, Bogota was more, I mean, Colombia was more or less, let's say, illiterate to the, without being pretentious, without being insulting. It's just that English wasn't a language that was really looked upon and really studied, and things are changing now. You saw this opportunity. You opened the business in 2011. How did you find it, opening a business here in Colombia?
Yeah, well, I guess to go back a few months before I even opened it, I never really expected to even open a company down here. And I always joke, I think, the only class I've failed in my life was Spanish, and I never expected myself I'd be running a company, much less a teaching company, in a Spanish-speaking country. But no, when I was down here, I was teaching English, and I just saw that the quality wasn't being met. There was a lot of cowboy-ran institutes, meaning just kind of start them up, nothing really to maintain operations or anything like that. And I just realized that's not the way it should have been. I just remember, even as a teacher, I struggled with quite a bit. I didn't have any support from the companies I worked with. I remember, like, visa support, they pretty much said I was on my own. And so I always thought, like, you know, as a teacher, you shouldn't have to deal with that type of stress. Because, you know, an English teacher, it's not meant to be a stressful job. It's meant to be a job you enjoy, that you actually get to help change the society. You get to enjoy living abroad, different things like that. And so with that, I decided to start a company. At the time, I was still thinking of doing an MBA. And going back to the States, so I thought it'd be great if I started a company, and I figured it'll either fail and I'll lose a bunch of money, but it'll be great for my application on an MBA, or it'll take off and I'll end up staying here. excuse me. So I started this in June 2011 officially, but I kind of started working with the idea beforehand of trying to create something that just actually emphasizes the quality and customer service, kind of what I was brought up with in the United States.
There's no customer service.
Not at all.
There's something that comes up all the time. And this is, you know, listeners out there, anyone who knows me, know I have a small hotel in Mompos, and one of the reasons that it's a success is that we look after our clients.
Exactly.
We answer the phone.
Exactly. I think, yeah, I mean, that's kind of shocking. And, like, for example, some of the policies we have, pretty much any emails we get, people pretty much will get a response in less than 2 hours. Callbacks usually less than 10, 15 minutes. Any client that contacts us, they know that we're always going to be there. And last week, a client emailed me, and I hadn't responded. I think 6 hours later, she called me to make sure I was okay because I hadn't responded. But yeah, we started kind of at that level, and that's kind of where we took it from there.
Well, I like that very much. I think, you know, when I see emails come in for, you know, reservations, if they're from, you know, English speakers, I have to respond within the hour. Because I know they're already looking.
Exactly.
And they've probably sent multiple emails off to other establishments.
Exactly.
I mean, this is business.
Exactly.
You know, you've got to move fast. And it's not... anyways, that's very impressive, the story that you know, you actually saw it. And are you still thinking of doing an MBA?
No.
That's out.
You know, now that pretty much I think these past few years, I think I've learned more than I could ever expect doing an MBA. So, no, now it's worked out, so I'm pretty happy.
You're not sure you don't want to go to a Colombian university and do it in Spanish?
I just wonder what the quality would be like. That's the biggest question. I think if I ever did it, I would do it just for fun, not to actually get the certificate. Who knows? Ask me in 5 or 10 years.
Still here with us. I have to say, I graduated this year. I finished the course last year. I did a political science master's, more or less, called conflict resolution at the university, and it was excellent.
Wonderful.
My teachers were there were a couple of former guerrillas,
you
know, and this is one of the top universities. We're probably, you know, conservative university or whatever. We had top people who've flown around the world to talk about peace processes and whatever. So I can't talk about MBAs,
right?
But if you want to talk, you want to study in Spanish conflict resolution, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
Good things about that. Anyway, so that's another story. A nice tangent for you there. Now, talking about Bogota Business English, that's BogotaBusinessEnglish.com. So the best, you know, website, obviously the easiest one to find. You know, what is your profile as a company? So what sort of people are coming to you? For English classes.
Yeah, exactly. And for the most part, we focus on high level business executives or business professionals, and that's kind of where our focus is. And the reason why, in the quality in which we work, I mean, we're obviously towards the top end of the market. In regards to our service offering, I mean, all of our teachers we have, they're all native, qualified, trained with experience. And as far as I know, there's not many institutes could actually do that across the board. So right now, I'd say probably about 50-60% of our clients are just business executives coming in. The other probably 50%, give or take, are actual company contracts. So we work with quite a few multinationals. And we go in and we'll implement programs, usually for one of two reasons. The first reason tends to be because they actually need English. And then the second reason, something that a lot of Colombian companies do here, is just for wellness. You know, offering training programs, whether it's once a week or twice a week. They don't really care if the employees learn English, but rather they want the employees to stay and be happy at that company. So those are two of the reasons. And, you know, obviously I prefer when they want to learn English.
Of course.
But at the same time, we'll pretty much work with any company.
But that's got to be pretty flattering. That these people, you know, these companies come to you. They've got the reputation. Even if they perhaps don't want to learn English, it's still great that you know that there's a regular flow of business.
You know, it's been interesting. I think, especially this year, we're now starting to develop a brand name. And I think a lot of people are coming because they've heard about us. They've heard that the quality that they're going to get is worth it. And so that's been really interesting. And I remember actually about 2 weeks ago, one of the more, not, I guess, flattering moments of my time with this. We had somebody who studied with us 2 years ago, and she went to do an MBA abroad and came back, and the first person she called was us just to continue practicing.
Nice.
And so we're starting to see a lot of people who study with us who maybe left or maybe stopped studying for whatever reason, and they're coming back. So our retention has been pretty high.
Repeat business is the best,
it's
isn't
the
it? And then, of course, word of mouth recommendations.
So yeah, exactly. That's the key.
We can be all very highly ranked on Google and have whatever reviews, but if your clients are happy and they keep coming back,
that's all that matters.
That's fantastic. That's very good. I like that. The repeat basis. Now, so all your teachers are native English Canadian Americans.
Absolutely.
From all over the world. Nice, and they've all got the relevant degrees, titles that they need to teach English.
Exactly. So everybody, I believe everybody has a university degree, but everybody definitely has some type of teaching certificate. You can't really study ESL teaching at the university. It tends to be an extra qualification. Mm-hmm. So, and actually, we're starting to see a lot of people who are coming down as well who don't have the qualifications but want to teach. Mm-hmm. And so because that, we're actually launching a teacher training course here in about a month and a half. There's only a couple companies actually do TEFL Tesla certified trainings here in Bogota. And they're great. They're great courses, but we found that they lacked a lot of the practical experience on how do you work with Latin America. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of doing a bit different. Instead of a huge emphasis on theory, we're doing a lot more on practical teaching and just how to actually live and work in Bogota and Colombia. We often send people to a class and they may have the best qualifications in the world, but they don't know how to get around Bogota. Mm-hmm. And we found that was kind of a gap, so we're launching that in about a month and a half.
I think that's very exciting. So check out, check back at the website, because that will be out there, BogotaBusinessEnglish.com. Now you're doing this teacher training course, and you're bringing in the cultural aspects of being in Bogota, so
absolutely,
people come down. I think that's very important indeed. You will accompany these people a bit, help them with the ins and outs of renting an apartment.
We actually do that right now with all of our staff. I think one of the things we also realized when we brought our staff in, a lot of these people don't speak any Spanish. So, of course, we take care of the whole legal aspects, getting their visas taken care of, setting them up for health insurance, everything like that. But at the same time, we have different avenues that people could come to. Hey, how do you rent an apartment? Mm-hmm. How do you open up a bank account? And the nice thing is, because we actually have a pretty big community of teachers who now works with us, as opposed to the teachers just relying just on my admin staff, they can actually now go to all the other teachers. So we have that set up, and that's been pretty successful. And we find that if we could get people set up and comfortable in Bogota more quickly, as opposed to taking 2-3 months, they tend to be much happier. Happier employees makes my job a bit easier.
Now, it was my question. It was going to, how many people do you employ?
Right now, on the administrative team, I have 6 people, and they just work in the office. And on teaching staff, we have 18 full-time teachers, and then we have about 5 or 6 part-time teachers.
That's a big cater of people.
It's been growing a bit. So.
Well, it shows that the market's there. And are you going to keep growing?
I hope so. This year we did some interesting changes with our administrative staff, and we have quite a few people pushing for the business development. I only see the demand growing, and the question is, can we keep up with the quality in which we want to use to keep up with the demand?
And let's talk about another side of things. Rather than, I know you get returning business and you've got the companies, how else do you promote this company? Don't give all the ideas out there to the competition, but are there things that you're willing to share with us? How have you been a success?
Yeah, exactly. I have I have 2 people who work full-time in sales with us, and then I have somebody who works part-time marketing, and then we have an administrative assistant, and when she's not working on admin projects, her job is to help kind of support the sales teams. We do a lot of cold calls. I don't find them to be successful, but it helps with their brand management. Mm-hmm. So the more we call them, if we call them now, in 6 months they're going to remember us, and that's how we're starting to get the foot in the door. So we do a lot of that. Obviously, we do a lot of events, a lot of social media marketing, LinkedIn, Facebook. In regards to events, once a month we have a conversation club where anybody who wants to come, doesn't cost at all. Just we meet up in a bar, drink beer, and speak English. And I found that to be pretty successful, just getting our brand name out there.
That's very interesting, and I like it as well. And cold calling I just hang up on cold callers, but
hard.
I'm just rude.
It's hard. It's very hard. I find that when you do cold calls, if you're able to connect with them first, it's completely different. And I think in my experience in Colombia, the cold calls. I mean, people don't have any training, so they'll call and say, hey, so do you want to upgrade your cell phone plan? No, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you call and say, hey, by the way, tell me just, are you happy with your cell phone? And then if people ask these intriguing questions, we of course do different things. Hey, by the way, how do you feel with your English? Is there anything we could help you with? Mm. And most of the time they say, no, we can't. Okay, hey, great. By the way, we have this free conversation. Just come by. And we're starting to find that that's just helping get our brand name out there.
I think if you were to call me up and say, are you happy with your cell phone? I would immediately say no.
Yeah. And then you start
then we'd start talking.
And that's what opens the conversation. Yeah. I find that to be really, really beneficial here in Colombia.
That's fantastic. Very interesting to hear these things. And we didn't get, you know, I didn't ask him to reveal the secrets of the trade. But anyway, this is Colombia Calling. I'm talking to Eric Taboni of Bogota Business English. Check out the website and we'll be right. We're going to take a short break right now. And we'll be back to talk further about the business of opening a business, an English teaching business here in Bogota, Colombia. Thank you for listening.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control health care, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable healthcare, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're here with Eric Taboni. We've been talking about his company, Bogota Business English. That's www.bogotabusinessenglish.com. And very important for those of you perhaps thinking of coming down to Colombia as English teachers, and if you don't have the correct qualifications, here at Bogota Business English, they will be launching a teacher training course, which I think is a really positive and a very progressive, idea for a company here in Colombia. But I think there really is, because the demand is here. And so people who maybe come down, maybe at a bit of a loss, and maybe want to stay, there is an opportunity here at Bogota Business English. So, you know, put on your best jacket and come around and speak to Eric, or, you know, fire him an email. It's a, you know, he works only with executives and top-end people, so he's not going to want some dreadlocked hippie turning up, you know, weaving beads. So anyway, so, you know, not to speak ill of dreadlock hippies or anything. Now, I want to, you know, we're talking about the English business here, and I, you know, people have asked me how now and then if I'd like to do conversation courses, and I'm not interested. I worked for 1 year as a teacher in Guatemala, and I'm not, you know, that's it, and that's fine, and that was my experience. You came down 2010 when you decided, as we mentioned previously, to drink beer, chase girls, and maybe, you know, maybe make a little bit of money here and there. In 2010, so 4 years ago, how much could you would you expect to make per hour, or did you do 2 hour classes? Or
yeah, exactly. So when I first got here, the salaries were definitely much lower. I think it was probably around 20, like a good paying job was around 20,000 pesos per hour. That was around $10 per hour, give or take. Mm-hmm. And classes tended to be an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And usually you'd have a class, you know, in the morning, then around lunchtime, and then evenings. I didn't work evenings because I was studying Spanish at the time. So, you know, when I first came that first year, I was making enough to get by. I mean, I was definitely dipping into my savings here and there. Mm-hmm. But I was coming down for the experience more than anything.
Mm-hmm. And of course, pay has increased in the last 4 years. I mean, you can, I think people are making around 30,000 an hour now, more or less, exactly. Let's say private teachers and stuff. And would you say that most people are giving hour and a half classes, 2 hour classes, because they have to travel all over the city, and so it makes it worthwhile?
Exactly. I think it really depends. In general, a lot of people still do hour and a half classes. With us, we actually only do 2 hour classes now. Mostly in part, I think it's, if you're going to be traveling as far or going to wherever you have to go, for less than 2 hours, it's not worth it. But then also in regards to actual learning, we found that people who actually sit down and study for 2 hours, the difference in results is massive compared to an hour and a half. But yeah, I think, you know, institutes, they pay anywhere from, you know, the more well-run ones, they pay anywhere, I would say, 24 to, you know, 30, 35 per hour. The benefit with working with an institute, it's more stable. You're always having classes come in. With private students, you can make 30 to 40, sometimes up to 50 an hour, which is, of course, a lot more, but it tends to be so flaky. They call you an hour before and cancel. And, you know, as a private teacher, you don't have any rights to kind of keep them in line. And I also remember as a teacher, when I was doing private teaching, and even now I hear this from some of the people who work with me, they'll have a student, and then the day before, they'll decide to cancel all the class for the next 2 months. So you lose that type of income. And getting new students in as a private is always a bit more difficult.
So, of course. Well, by reference, and if you've got no students to begin with, then it's very difficult to get them.
I always recommend to people, I'm like, hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. Work with an institute. Take 50, 60, 70% of your time at an institute. Then another 30, 40% do private. Have a good balance. The private, of course, you're going to make a lot more money, but it's also so much more unstable, and you don't really know what's coming in next month. Mm-hmm. Institutes, it's definitely a lot more predictable, and then there's definitely a lot more stability with it.
Interesting that. And Eric, you know, you're not still teaching.
No, I haven't taught in the past. I haven't taught for at least probably 2 years. So, and it is actually kind of funny. I'm probably one of the worst teachers out there. I have an academic director, and he handles all the hiring. And he actually told me one night, after a couple beers, of course, he was a bit more honest. He said, you know, Eric, if you came in, I would never hire you to work for this company. So it makes me pretty proud to think that the quality's raised so much, I probably couldn't get a job at being a company.
I don't know, I'm smiling, I think it's a great story. But I don't know who's been learning English with you in the previous years. But fantastic, that. Very interesting that about you know, working for an institute. And of course, the big deal is about an institute, of course, if you are working full-time or a great deal of time with them, you'll do the visa work, which is not easy here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so
it's been last year they did a pretty big visa change, and it took us a while to get it taken care of. And actually, they've gone a step farther. The Ministerio now does audits on all the companies who do it. So, we pass them with flying colors. It's taken us a while to get it all set up, but now it runs like clockwork.
All right. Well, you know, I think my visas. I have to renew it this year again. Yeah. But I'm now on a spouse visa, so that's
it's a bit easier.
It's a lot easier now, thank God, after 6 years on a journalist visa, which they used to move the goalpost every single year. Every single year. And then I don't want to talk about that anyway. But now your Spanish, you said you did mention earlier that you were studying Spanish at nighttime when you first came back. Do you continue to study Spanish, or is it just practice now?
No, I mean, I pretty much only studied for the first year. Mm-hmm. I mean, with work, even though we're an English teaching company, when I have to deal with clients, all negotiations, all sales calls are all in Spanish. Mm-hmm. So I speak Spanish 50% of the day. So now it's pretty, I'm not going to say fluent, but it's pretty. I can manage any situation I need to.
And obviously, as you know well, you have to speak Spanish here.
Exactly. I mean, you go out on the street, I mean, very few people speak English. If you actually need something, this is one of the countries that it kind of shocks me. Tourism, like I said, is so high, but if you don't have basic Spanish, it could be a bit difficult to get around.
That's the absolute truth of it. So now, you know, talking about the business and everything, and we've had a few people on the show who own their businesses or work in big multinationals and so on and so forth, and I always ask them, because, you know, a lot of people have sort of, let's say, reservations about opening a business abroad, but here in Colombia, there's a lot of opportunity. That's why back in the day in 2007, well, in 2006, I took the decision, I'm going to move to Colombia in 2007, and that's after having been 6-7 years already in Latin America and choosing it above every other country. You know, I love Brazil, don't get me wrong, and I love other places and everywhere. Even Paraguay has its charm, even Bolivia or other places, but I saw opportunity here.
Absolutely.
How have you found it? And obviously you've seen the opportunity, you've taken advantage of the opportunity, and it's going very well. How did you find it employing people, you know, going through the process? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, I employ two types of people, obviously the foreigners. I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty straightforward. They come in, we understand the legal and cultural. I my academic director, we pretty much, him and I, we run the whole operations of it. But since we're on the same culture, it's fine. I also employ a couple of Colombians. And, you know, it's always a bit interesting. I think there's different cultural differences that we've had to get through. And it usually takes me a couple of months, but I try to get them over to the American management as opposed to a Colombian management.
How would you say that that's a difference there?
Like, for example, with Colombian management, I find that Colombians have to ask approval for everything.
Yeah.
And so, for example, I remember, like, sometimes when I hire people the first day, they'll say, hey, Eric, can I go to the bathroom? I'm like, you're kidding me. Or like, here, can I take my lunch? I'm like, look, I trust you. I've hired you to do your job. And here, this is what you could do. And it's like, it's even gone so far, they even have their own expense account. Like, you can expense anything you want up to a certain amount without getting my approval. Mm-hmm. And even when I pass them, like, it was for them, it was a bit weird. They're like, Eric, I have a meeting in 10 minutes. I'm going to be late if I don't take a taxi. Can I take a taxi? I'm like, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. So I find that's really interesting with that. I also find that, you know, Colombians, like, one of the things, their whole idea of time, you know, people tend to arrive a bit on the later side here. And I'm now they're there, but I think at first, to them, if they arrived late to an appointment, they didn't think anything of it. And I let them know that that's not acceptable with what we've done business English and our standards.
That's an interesting, I've got an anecdote regarding that. I many months ago, I got to interview the mayor of Bogota, Gustavo Petro, and I was in there, and actually we were talking to, there was an aide of his there, and there was possibly, you know, the alcaldía, so the mayoralty of Bogota, was going to lose some funding for some projects from the government of Germany, because the Germans turned up from the embassy at the hour indicated, you know, probably, you know, 15 minutes early, but equally at the hour indicated for the meeting.
Yeah.
They knocked on the door of the office they had to go into, and the guy was sitting there, you know, slunk back with his feet up on the table, and was like, No, the meeting doesn't start for another like 15, 20 minutes. And the Germans walked out and went, we will continue the project, but that man's not involved.
Yeah, you know, no, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. I've heard so many times when people have lost deals just because they show up a couple minutes late. That's something they can't.
You have to be on time. No, I think it's interesting. I see things changing here.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, the 7-8 years now, I see things changing. I see that the lunch hour shortening, you know, because everybody eats at 12.
Absolutely.
I mean, universities stop at 12, and then they wonder why all the restaurants are full.
Yeah.
Why can't you stagger it a little bit? You know, why don't you eat at 1? There's no one in the restaurant at 1. But I see things changing. I see people eating faster. I see leaving after 20, 25 minutes, walking faster back to the office. I see it. That's a cultural shift.
Exactly. I think before, people were like, hey, my hour lunch break, it doesn't matter how much work I do. I'd rather work 2-3 hours later, but I still want my hour lunch break. Great, if that's what they like. I don't know about you, but in my culture, I'd rather eat a quicker lunch so I could get home earlier. But yeah, I see that starting to change. And that's been pretty interesting to watch with that.
It is changing. Now, when you have people applying for Bogota Business English, let's say, to teach for you, so let's say foreigners who are coming down, I mean, you're going to be giving this teacher training course, but do you give them that good sort of background and cultural sort of understanding, cultural introduction to Colombia?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, like I said, my strength is in business. I brought in my academic director. And so he pretty much runs all the academic side, including all training, teacher training, all program development, everything. And he's the one who kind of joked with me when he mean saying he wouldn't hire me. But he pretty much, when people come in, we do an induction. And it's usually a 2-3 hour induction that gets them ready to teach in Colombia.
Yeah.
We don't teach them how to teach during this, but we give them cultural ideas, things that they're going to do differently. And a lot of times we find people taught in Asia beforehand, and then they'll come over to Colombia.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, it is a completely world of difference when they make that change.
So what sort of things would you focus on for someone coming from Asia, let's say, having taught there?
I think the biggest thing we'd always say is, like, you know, in Colombia, people tend to be more relational as opposed to Asia. And so, for example, actually, I remember my very first class that I taught, and it took me 3-4 hours to make this plan. Phenomenal plan. And out of that plan, I think we got through the first out of 20 things I had listed, because a lot of times they just want to sit there and talk.
Yeah.
And of course, you correct them and review certain aspects. But a lot of times, Colombians are so fascinating to hear why foreigners are here. And a lot of times, what I always say is just like, hey, relax and enjoy the classes, because that's what this country is about.
It's true. I think it's very true. I think it's a much more personal level
to
these things, even with the high-end executives, I think it would be the case. Now, we're just talking about personal levels. We'll finish off, you know, as I've heard down the grapevine, you're getting married to a Colombian later this year, so congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Now, how is that going with her family? Because it must be big.
Yeah, it is. You know, we're actually getting married in her hometown, Ocaña, which is
near
Santander.
I'm near my neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's a bit off the beaten path track. No, I mean, she has a massive family, and it's kind of funny. I think we're going to have about 130, 140 people at the wedding. I'll have about 30 or 40 from my friends and family, and I think 80 or 90 will be from her. But no, it's great. I mean, I love her family. I'm actually pretty lucky to say I do like my future in-laws. They've accepted me. It wasn't anything weird about joining it, but it's just been a lot of fun. And I find it's always fun when we're out there. Just, you know how Colombian families are. When they get together, it can be an absolute blast.
It will be a riot. Up in Ocaña, Norte de Santander, it will be a riot.
Oh, exactly. So, then, I mean, as you can imagine, not many foreigners go there, so... you know, last time we checked the newspaper, the headline in Ocaña was like, three Spaniards came to visit Ocaña. So I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when there's 40 foreigners.
It's stop the press.
Yeah, stop the press, exactly. So yeah, we're pretty excited about that.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations. And thank you, Eric DeBoney, for being here on the show with us and informing us about Bogota Business English. If you are interested, if you're out there listening and you're thinking of coming down to Colombia, get in touch with Eric. That's BogotaBusinessEnglish.com. And of course, his teacher training course, which I think is a very interesting, very exciting new development for the company. So this has been Colombia Calling. I've been Richard McCall. I hope you've enjoyed this show. And tune in every week. We're up on iTunes, as you know. Thank you for listening.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.